This here is a podcast from PRI and Sarah Jones.
Hello?
It's Playdate.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Okay, come on up.
Hey, you made it. Shoes off, please. It's New York. It's dirty out there. Through the hallway we go here.
So sitting here across from Baratunde Thurston.
Yeah.
You know, this is good juju.
Saratunde in the house.
Saratunde.
A pleasure and an honor to share these mics with you.
Thank you. We will share them. We will drop them. We will pick them back up again. Mm-hmm.
Because we don't own them.
We don't own them. We won't break them. But, no. You know.
I met Baratunde Thurston a couple of years ago at the TED conference, where he dazzled everybody with his comedy. But I wanted to have this play date with him today because he's also a tech-savvy, politically astute, cultural architect who helps me imagine what we need to build as a society.
Oh, my. I was just thinking, with a description like that and all he's accomplished, how can he be so young? To already have become a best-selling author, he's advised the Obama White House on the tech. He went to Harvard. My goodness, I'm quelling just reading this resume. He's not even my own child.
Well, Lorraine, you'll get to congratulate him on all his accomplishments when it's your turn, because Baratunde Thurston is here with me, Sarah Jones, for a play date.
We were just talking about a phrase you coined. I said
antisocial people are making all of our social tools.
I want to be silent so y'all can let your jaw drop on that one. You know, if I'm using a device that is made by somebody who's not really connecting necessarily, is there a disconnect there for me? I don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah. No, it's a level of passive or implicit or subtle mismatch that could be discrimination, that could be missed opportunities, that could be creating or incentivizing behavior that isn't healthy. And I'll ride on that train for a second. The word friend.
Please.
How many of us have them? Friends. Ones you can depend on. Friends. But now we got Facebook out here calling anybody you encounter, anyone you bump into, anyone you work with.
My dry cleaner is my friend.
Exactly.
And it's Lorraine Levine.
Oh, hi, Lorraine. It's a pleasure.
I'm so happy to hear you saying this, Baratunde.
Yeah.
Because you're so right. My grandchildren, great-grandchildren now I have, can you believe? But they say to me, grandma, great-grandma, I have, you know, X hundreds of friends. Mm-hmm. I says, you don't have, who, what's the little girl, Amber, who comes over? You have her. You know, I know about, whoever you tell me about, that's your friend.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people, not your friend.
Right.
Yeah.
No, they're acquaintances, they're collections, and they give you a sense of power. Because you're like, I have so many friends. You can quantify it. And it's good for the Facebooks of the world to be able to measure, but I think it's bad for a part of our social selves to not be able to distinguish between a real friend and a distant acquaintance or a boss or a coworker. And then it forces awkward conversations.
You're so right.
Your boss would be like, how come you haven't accepted my friend request? Because you're my boss. I don't want you seeing what I'm doing on the weekend.
It really does color the relationship.
Yes, it does.
And let me tell you, the idea of collecting friends, you're so right. Mm. And what came to my mind is my problem with shoes.
Are you a hoarder?
I have a little problem with it. Okay. I'm generally speaking a very good person. But when it comes to the shoes, there is a feeling like I can't get enough. Mm. There's always another sale.
Yeah.
And what happens is I have so many, I don't wear all of them. I can't.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right.
And I like some of them so much, even though they don't fit my feet. So I can look at them.
So they're pieces of art now.
They're tchotchkes. That's what we would call them. Very nice tchotchkes.
Yes.
So we don't want tchotchkes for friends.
No. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I have to say also, because Lorraine Levine and I have this conversation, there is also the reality that, you know, we live in a moment in which you're a kind of a tech guru in a lot of ways. You work.
I am not the guru. You are your own guru. That's what a guru would say.
That is what a guru would say. Kumare. Well, I'll say this.
Yes.
A tech guru. Yeah. So you are among but you could call gurus, perhaps your own and others. But in the digital space, I'm Praveen, by the way. I just wanted to enter that because people in our culture who are more predisposed to kind of HB1 visas and this kind of thing. And the truth is that I feel there are a lot of people who are occupying that human space and they are quite social. Where are the best aspects of that technology? Right. So you are very capable, I think, of doing the best work with the digital. Can you talk a little bit about how you infuse the kind of digital and the AI and all of these things that you talk about with humanity?
Yes. So I worked for many years at a place called The Onion. It's a satirical news outlet.
I am aware. I have been fooled many times by the headlines.
That has never been the goal of The Onion to fool you, by the way.
Fair enough.
But so when I left there in 2012, I started a company with two other colleagues from there called Cultivated Wit. And the idea was to combine the power of humor to articulate, to connect, especially in a more subversive way, with the power of technology to amplify, to spread, to scale. And for the humorist, for the artist, provide a new set of paintbrushes, a new set of tools with which to create. For the technologist, to ground that technology in something human, not just the algorithms and the code and the math of it, which are so removed from daily experience, and they can be very cold and very isolating. They can lead to collecting friends as opposed to really interacting with people who you care about and love. So the best example of what our company has done are these live events. They're hackathons. Mm-hmm. And hackathons in the technology world, you get a bunch of software developers, usually for a weekend, who work really quickly to develop a working prototype of something. We added the twist of making humor be the goal and injecting comedians into the teams of developers. So you will end up with a winning program, something like Equitable. And Equitable is an app for iPhone. It's actually in the App Store. And it allows you to share your bill after you've had a joint meal with people at a restaurant. People are always heckling over who owes this, who ate this and that. So Equitable doesn't split the bill equally. It splits it fairly. And it takes into account racial and gender dynamics and history to allocate the bill along more appropriate fair lines. It's affirmative, what do they call it? Reparations one meal at a time.
That is the most amazing explanation directly from you. Hi, I'm Bella.
What's up, Bella?
Hi, it's really good to see you again. But I am like super stoked to be here right now with you because like I feel that like people, they are afraid. Like, and I don't want to say it's older people, but it is like maybe people who are like chronologically advanced people.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah, like I just feel that like I want them to feel welcome and to realize that like if they sat down for 5 minutes, they could learn. That's what I want people to see is like, yes, in the wrong hands, like these platforms can be cold or like alienate you from like the analog world, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like at their best, like you can actually like I love, for example, I was introduced by Sarah Jones, who told me she was introduced by you to this idea of Finn.
No, it's really, I think we're at such a crossroads where I was using this kind of virtual assistant app called Finn to find a dessert. And it did, in fact, send me to the best pie in New York City.
That was really, really
it's
good.
It's a hybrid system. It's part artificial intelligence and part people. And through the phone, I feel smarter. Like, I feel like I was a better dinner guest. I was a better version of Baratunde Day.
If that's possible.
That evening, because I was enhanced, right? I was like a bionic being.
AI plus pie.
Yes. And I think in that case, it's not as scary. Like, there's the Terminator version, but there's also the delicious pie version.
Can everybody get on board with pie? So let's think about this, though, right? How you come to be you also has a lot to do with your mom and, you know, who she is, your dad, who he was, your whole trajectory and mine and everyone listening. It's so fascinating to think we can't arrive at what sounds like a reductive conversation about technology without first being this huge human story.
Yeah, and acknowledging our history. To get the future, you've got to dig into the past and be able to reconcile those two into a present. I remember as a child, I listened to a lot of news radio, public radio mostly, sometimes AM talk radio. And I was in the lower floor of our house in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I was working on my computer. That was like my car. I was always fiddling with it, installing things, adding graphics cards. And I was listening to an interview with Oliver North.
Mm, wow.
Who was a ranking member of the military. He was involved in a scandal with President Reagan about providing arms to
Iran-Contra.
Yeah, to the Contras of Iran to help fund some Iranian. I can't even remember. It was just mad corrupt and horrible and involved like weapons for weapons illegally. And he was, I remember he made some statement along the lines of, nobody helped me get where I am. I got here by pulling myself up by my bootstraps, like some mythological self-made
John
man.
Wayne.
Yeah, kind of thing. And it's like, no, you were made by your parents. At a minimum, you just dissed your mom and your dad.
She went through a lot.
Yeah, like you would have just died. She chose to feed you and keep you alive and give you the tools to have this foul attitude later in life that dismisses her contributions. Mm. So it felt very short-sighted, selfish, and of limited view. Yeah, our future is also our history. My mom was a super tech geek. She was a hippie, and we always shopped at the cooperatives and the farmers markets. Mm-hmm. So my mom set so much of me in motion, basically. And mostly I can thank her for that. There's a few things where I'm like, I wish you were a little easier on that part. But yeah, mostly gratitude.
Mm-hmm. I love, you know, learning through you kind of some of these fantastic ideas that, again, are really born out of community, right? Because ultimately that's what these devices, that's what these platforms are about, is a new take on how to form community. And then whatever our goals are, like, I'll just say, okay, first of all, I'm sorry. I just need to interrupt. My name is Nereida.
Hello, Nereida.
Hi, I am very excited because...
Mucho gusto.
Well, okay, so gracias igualmente. So first of all, I just always identified with you in the first place because your name is Baratunde. Mm-hmm. And you know, my name is Nereida. And I love that, like, you know, growing up, you had people like, it's Barry, it's Barrington, it's, you know, it's Barstool.
What did they call you?
I mean, I got it all. Neurotic, you know, neuropathy, whatever. I mean, you take me to Starbucks when they write your name on the side of the thing.
Right, that's the test.
And I actually have a friend, she keeps all of hers because her name is like, you know what I mean?
Right.
When you have names like ours, sometimes people are they're just gonna have a field day and like write some graffiti on the side
of the thing. I just use like another name.
That's what
I just become somebody else just because I'm like, I just want the coffee. I don't want to teach you a lesson. I don't want to learn anything.
I don't want to have like a multicultural seminar right now.
This is not a teachable moment right here.
Can I just get my quad shot right now? Like, I just really need to get out of here.
So I'll be Bob today. That's
Thank
fine.
You. You know what? I'm Nancy. Nice to meet you. You know what I mean? Bob and Nancy, making it happen. Give me my coffee.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this also. You know, it's so important to me that you embrace your name because you had the choice. You could have kept going with like Barry or whatever.
Right.
It's really real to find for yourself what's important to you. And you have put it in such a beautiful way that you take these threads from everywhere. So you have your experiences in being in environments where sometimes it's, you know, mostly white people. Mm-hmm. You went to some, you know, very highly selective schools in this country where, you know, it's not like you're walking around and it's tons of Dominicans and black people just like, hey, what's up?
Right.
There's a few. And they're like, hey, what's up? But you know what I mean?
How are you?
How are you? Hi, how is it going? And like all of a sudden, you know, like I really start to get self-conscious myself, even around my own people.
Right.
What does my own people even mean sometimes? You know what I mean?
When I first got to Harvard, the black kids at Harvard, my freshman class, who they didn't know me yet, they thought I was a thug. Like they were like, oh, this is like some hood kid from D.C. because of the way I dressed.
Oh, my God.
I had cornrows and Tim's.
They're like, he's from The Wire.
Camouflage pants. And I was like, I couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, we're all at Harvard. There's no thugs here.
I know. You want to be like, what do you think? I'm on the special thug program? You think there's like...
Harvard does not have a thug scholarship.
It's not a thug program.
No.
Also, like, I'm sorry, but what's the you know, a thug? Like, I love these terms that we come up with, right? And it's like a label, and it's a box, and it's a place to control, to feel like you can, you know, process and analyze and understand the person. It's never accurate. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You could call me, like, you know, a mommy in the street who's like, mira this and mira... And yes, I am that. And I am also, you know, studying sustainable development. I'm very interested in my community. I'm very interested in environmentalist, you know, issues and all of that.
When you bring up these expectations that people have of you, it makes me think back to the whole technological future and who's making it. Who's designing the Amazon system that's going to recommend books to you? Who's designing Facebook who's going to tell you who your friends should be? Who's running the ads on Google's that tell you whether you should be taking yoga classes or getting a terrible loan to buy a home you can't afford? And when those systems look at people like me and you, they make some big assumptions. And they basically could end up programming all this stereotyping in a way that we can't fight nearly as easily. I didn't know you were into sustainable development, and I think anybody who might observe you on the street or through your web browser might not know that either. So it's important for people like us to get into the mix to designing this future. It's not just about making money. It's about making the world respond to us in a better way than it has in the past.
Yes, exactly, Baratunde. I mean, especially in a time of, like, you know, on top of stereotyping people to target their ads, like you were saying, you know, yes, they think they know who you are, but also these platforms, they were part of spreading the fake news that landed all of us. It doesn't matter what your background, it landed us in this mess that we are in right now in this country. So, you know, that's a situation we cannot sustain. Yes, I hear you, Narita. But the good news is, when we come back, Baratunde, you're going to share a couple of ideas about how, of course, it's normal to be terrified right now, but we also get to have hope, even in this moment. I'm Sarah Jones, and I am so glad you've joined us for this play date with the fantastic Baratunde Thurston.
If you like words and languages like we all do on Playdate, then here's another podcast you're going to love.
That's right, Lorraine. It's PRI's The World in Words. You're going to find great stories from how Swahili took hold in Africa to how the Lakota people are fighting to save their language and, of course, their land and their water. But also, you'll hear about the latest on why being bilingual is good for your brain. Hello, some of us know that very well.
Join Patrick Cox and Nina Porsuki for a fun, lively conversation on how we all talk with each other.
Thank you, Lorraine and Narita. And everyone can find World of Words on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and at PRI.org. I'm Sarah Jones. I am so glad you have joined us for this play date with Baratunde Thurston. Now, all of my friends were super excited to sit down and talk with him, but one in particular, as a Black man in America, was truly eager to have this chance to connect.
You know what? My name is Rashid.
Yeah.
But what I want to say right quick is, like, you know, it's a lot of people, they think the only kind of intelligence, like, you talking about artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, we talking about how do you bring it all together, all the different kinds of intelligence that different people has. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't raised, you know what I'm saying, listening to no NPR, nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. NPR probably stand for something else that's, you know, right, what I'm saying, a different kind of N-word in the front. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm saying I got experience. I could analyze and think about things in ways that could help people. You know what I'm saying? And getting dismissed, maybe because you're not even really part of that tech boom. You feel me? My experience, saying I'm not going to talk about everybody in my life or whatever, but it's some people, they ain't even present in a society when one iPhone go away and they come out, they can't even operate, you know what I'm saying? Because we five iPhones down the line and they feel like, you know what I'm saying? What's that dude name? Rip, he fell asleep.
Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it ain't got to be 20 years. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
20 days.
20 days, you know what I'm saying? You get locked up for a minor infraction, you feel me? Next thing you know, you come out, you feel like you missed everything. You ain't relevant no more.
Yeah.
So I'm saying how this could be more inclusive.
Have you been incarcerated?
I mean, look, I maintain the right to, you know what I'm saying, preserve my ability to be employed, you feel me?
Right.
So I don't really share what don't need to be shared.
Right.
Is it likely that something like that gonna happen to me? Hell yeah, that's mad likely, you feel me? I wanna make sure that some people don't get shut out.
Yeah.
And right now it's like, it's a big gap, you feel me?
So here's some good news.
Yeah.
Right, because the picture you're painting is potentially super depressing.
The sorry about that.
No. It's important.
Now we're going to get the pharmaceutical problem going again. Get you a pill. Right,
maybe there's an advertiser who can solve that.
Probably.
But so I'm friends with a man who was incarcerated for 19 years.
All right.
So he wrote a book. He's used literature to get through it. And he had this phrase, which I think you'll very much identify with. He says, hurt people, hurt people.
That's my dude right there. It might be me.
Right.
Yo.
So the good news. So he got out, and he reconnected. He plugged back into the Matrix. You ever see the Matrix?
Hell yeah.
So he became Neo, basically. Yeah. He's like, whoa, I know Kung Fu.
That's it right there.
And he got an iPhone, and he just, you know,
19 years
he could still
after
learn.
19 years, you
it
could feel, still
It was
learn.
Daunting. It's a big hill to climb, but he was determined to climb it. And he said to me, I was determined to be an asset to my community and not a liability was when I went in. And there are, you know, a lot of the educational programs in our prisons and jails have been cut. It got very popular for a long time to almost literally throw people away and make the conditions as horrible as possible. But now those chickens are coming home to roost.
That's
those people
right.
are coming back to
That's
our
right.
communities.
That's right.
And we need them to be better than when we sent them away because they're part of our families.
That's right.
So the good news is there are some programs, and what I'd love is for them to grow even more. There's a program called the Last Mile Project.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do business plan competitions in prison. They teach coding in prison.
Saying.
Now, you're not even allowed to have internet in prison,
that's
but they
set
saying. Up a system so that you could bring a computer that's
They don't
not
bring
connected.
You a cardboard box with some fake keys on it or nothing
no.
until you act like you typing.
No,
right,
no, it's a real,
sure.
it's a legitimate
I'm
computer.
Messing with you, I'm messing with you.
But so, you mean, we have 500,000 unfilled technology jobs in this country.
Saying, sign me up,
Exactly.
Son.
And then we have 2 million people in our prisons,
you know I know
many
that.
Of whom are coming home.
Yep.
And we got to put them to work.
Yes, we do.
We otherwise
real
the work,
jobs, real jobs.
Yeah.
Not making no artisanal cheese for Whole Foods for you know 15 cents an hour. I see you Whole Foods.
Ooh.
Oh,
Ooh.
I'm saying I like the organics and all that, but let's keep it real.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's
yeah.
keep it real clear. Yo, I'm gonna say this right here.
Okay.
Hurt people. Free people, free people.
It's
hot
yo,
right there, right?
That's a mic drop moment, Rasheed.
You know what?
I'm writing that down.
Let's write that down. I feel this right here. I mean, it make me feel hopeful. I'm going to ask you one thing, though.
Okay.
You think it's possible the situation we in right now, like you said, 2 million people, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole damn country over there in Scandinavia or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And we in jails, or if you ain't still in the jail, in the prison, they take your right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, employment, you know what I'm saying? Everything gets real funky and real difficult.
Yeah. Housing.
Housing, all of it.
Yeah.
If you, public housing, you ain't supposed to, you ain't allowed to have nobody that's been in the penal system. You know what that mean? That mean they could kick out damn near everybody because everybody got a connections. You know what? I ain't going to lie. I used to think ain't the White House public housing? ain't George W.
Yes.
Bush has some drug issues or some
yes,
whatever?
Absolutely.
So they should have kicked his ass out. You know what I'm saying? If they got to kick my people out. Anyway, mm-hmm. my point is this right here. I want to feel hopeful, like you said. But I'm saying with Trump, I mean, like you said, you terrified. Me too. So what we supposed to do?
That's a hard question, Rasheed. And to be honest with you, I'm not only hopeful. I'm also terrified.
Oh, damn.
It's a mix. Because we're on the edge. And we can do better, but we don't always choose to do better.
I'm saying, I really hope it could happen.
Yeah.
But when you said you terrified, I mean, what we supposed to do?
So it's gonna be hard. And I think you can imagine a world and then try to make it happen. And the world I want you to imagine is one where we're not just outsourcing jobs, where we're not just automating everything, where we're not just selling bullshit that nobody really needs at prices only 5% of the people can afford, but instead we make a decision as a nation, yo, we're gonna run this. We're gonna stay on top. We're gonna build the baddest, most advanced society in the world, and we're gonna put everybody to work. We've done this type of stuff before. I feel like Obama right now. But look, we went to the damn moon. We stopped Hitler. We have freed people. We stopped children from slaving away in mines. We put women to work, let them vote. We got black people voting. Obviously, there's still a lot of challenges, but we can do great things. So I'm terrified because we have a long history of not always rising to the occasion. But I'm hopeful because we have enough history of actually doing it that I know it's possible. So I just need you to know not only that it's possible, but that there are people working to make that happen. And then you should align yourself with that. Because just being depressed about it, you're going to fulfill
nah.
a dark prophecy. That's
I'll tell
not cool.
you what it leads to. It's a lot of Domino's pizza.
And that's not good for
it's
anybody.
It's not good for nobody.
Yeah.
And a lot of Xbox. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, I don't want to be playing the game. I want to be programming
building
the game.
Building the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And look, all that time, there's a company in the Bronx called Startup Box.
Hi.
They are putting kids who used to just play games to work. by testing games.
They are getting paid by gaming companies
to help test it. Why should it, especially black people? We use smartphones more than anybody.
That's right.
We've always been on technology more than anybody, probably because we're trying to escape this reality more than anybody, because we have some good reason to doubt this world. So we should be, and I think in some cases are, we just need to grow those examples, whether it's the Last Mile Project or Startup Box. Make that not a little anecdote, a little story, a little TED Talk over here, and then to make you feel good. Make it real so you actually are good.
Baratunde, I want to say this. First of all, I do feel a sense of hope hearing these concrete examples, these programs, right? I have a question for you. What do you think the role of our government should be in? It's like individuals. You got hackathons going on. Why don't we have hackathon.gov?
So here's the good and the bad news. The good news is it's happening. I was actually talking to my girlfriend the other day. She works in this space. She works in a place that's using technology for public good. In fact, they have a conference coming up. It's called The Tech We Need.
Love it.
And there are solid examples. We need more.
Right. We need more. Can they change the name of the conference? We need more now.
I dreamed up a more radical solution. Mm-hmm. A digital draft.
Love it. Yes. Right. Let's conscript.
Just take all the people promoting super tight jeans that don't wrinkle and food that doesn't taste like food, the Soma crap, you just drink it to optimize your Silicon Valley 18-hour workday.
I don't want food.
And anybody who's starting another ride-sharing service to outcompete for 2% more profit, then we're good. I can get places now. Thank you. I'm covered on transportation.
Actually, you can't because there's so many cars, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm covered on like getting food to me faster.
We really
thank you. Seamless exists, as does Grubhub, as does calling the local spot and be like, yo, can you bring this over?
I actually can't eat as much food as they can bring to me in 5 minutes.
So we need to balance those scales. But let's take all that talent, redirect it,
right,
see this as a World War II, III era effort,
right,
and
this
conscript these
effort.
Mugs.
We're in a war on the apathy and the inertia and, frankly, the low morale. And I just feel like in some lovely way, you are the future in a way that prevents us from wishing we could escape to it because the present now is so unbearable. Mm. It's actually that this present moment is bearable in part because we are moving toward you. I want to ask you this one last hard thing, and I'm going to let somebody ask it who, well, she sometimes breaks my heart, but more often than that, she breaks it so it can, you know, kind of regroup in a new, stronger way.
Okay.
How you doing, Baratunde?
Hello.
My name is Miss Lady. I'm here now because I don't care what Sarah Jones or anybody else say. It's a whole mess of homeless right now. And I know some people in the some world, the technology world and all that, they tell you, oh, we living in the best time. Mm-hmm. Poverty is going away. We got rid of more poverty than ever. It's so wonderful. Let me tell you something. When you still living in the poverty, it ain't gone away for you. And what I want to ask you is this. To me, this country was built on keeping some people poor, make them build everything and don't pay them nothing. So what's going to happen if everybody learn how to code? Who going to clean their toilet? If everybody get respect, then who they going to use for the stand on?
I don't actually think everybody should be coding. I don't think everybody should be a comedian.
I agree with you. I don't like computers, and I ain't funny.
and the world needs more than that. I think it'd be helpful if the people doing the coding knew a little bit more about the world before they decided to remake it in a smaller and narrower image. But we're still going to need people to actually work with their hands. We're going to need people to teach and explain things. We're going to need people to redesign and reprogram the machines that are definitely taking a lot more of the labor that used to be done, some of which is good. Some of that labor is highly dangerous. Why are people still coal mining?
That's right.
So look, I think there's a real awesome future. It's a big question. We got all these machines, we got all this software, and it's going to be able to do a lot that people used to do.
One day it's going to be a podcast starring the hologram of you and the AI of Sarah Jones.
It probably will. It'll get our voice from past audio. It'll understand our meaning from all the tweets and letters we've ever... It'll just suck in our email account.
Oh, Lord.
And it'll know how we put sentences together.
Lord.
So that's an interesting problem. Because then what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
And it comes back to government. And what's the role of government? Probably got to guarantee some kind of income. The idea of homelessness is ridiculous so much wealth in the world. That's and so we have to get off of this fend for yourself. Because you're poor, you're morally wrong.
Oh, my Lord.
You deserve it. That's just sanctimonious bullshit.
Yes.
So I think the idea of work is going to change dramatically and how we generate income, basic housing, basic healthcare, basic income.
Yes, baby.
So that we are not making ourselves obsolete and that we fill that time with more art, with more time with our children, with more human contact, with maybe more sleep.
All right now.
With some more concerts and some more dancing and some more cooking.
All right.
I'm feeling real hungry.
I was just going to say, y'all make me want to have a barbecue right now. I said this to people before. You need to think about being into politics yourself.
Oh, boy.
I'm just telling you, baby. Because
but I'm so happy now, Ms.
I know, but you might have to sacrifice feeling happy and being beautiful. You might have to get you some wrinkles and some gray hairs. And just go on out there and use what you got, baby, because you got a lot. Yes, you do.
Well, thank you so much.
God bless you. I know y'all don't believe in God, so science bless you too.
Science bless you as well, Miss Lady.
Thank you.
Baratunde, thank you so much. Ooh. I don't want to say goodbye.
No.
I just want to say
a tout à l'heure
to be continued.
Yes.
You know, and
this was fantastic.
Onward and upward. Thanks, Baratunde. I am so glad you were here for this hope-inspiring playdate with Baratunde Thurston. And if you want to learn more about him or his work, visit us at sarahjonesonline.com or pri.org/playdate. And while you're there, check out our playdate with the amazing singer-songwriter, Grammy winner, India Ari. My friends and I got to sit and talk with her about her albums, the healing power of her journey throughout her career with music, and the one song her dad really didn't want her to listen to on the radio growing up.
I wanna sex you up.
I sure do remember that.
That is horrible. That's the first thing I sang. I had to sing something else to get that out.
Yeah, Playdate with Sarah Jones is a co-production of Sarah Jones and PRI. Is produced by my sister Julie Burstein, with sound design by my dude Derek John, and production assistance from, you know who it is, Kate Essig.
Thanks, Rashid. And also, you guys totally have to leave us a review on iTunes or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It's totally up to you. And you can follow us on Twitter at JonesSarah, that's JonesSarah, or on Facebook and Instagram at XOSarahJones. You can also check us out on pri.org/playdate and at sarahjonesonline.com.
This is Sarah Jones. We will miss you until our next playdate. See you soon. Adios.
Salamu alaikum. Shalom. Bye, everybody.